Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission Ministry Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you how to utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make, the resulting outcome. And one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time when diversity has never been more important in the workplace and the world. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Dr. James O. Rogers. Dr. Rogers is president and principal consultant of the Diversity Coach. He is recognized as a thought leader and the leading strategist or strategist in the field of diversity management, providing high-end executive coaching, diversity, equity, inclusion, advice, and counsel to senior executive teams. Dr. Rogers is also the author of a fabulous and very timely book entitled Diversity Training That Generates Real Change, Inclusive Approaches That Benefit Individuals, Business, and Society. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Dr. Rogers.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
The honor's really all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you are speaking from this morning, please.
I am on the east suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, in a place called Stone Mountain, Lithonia. And this is where we've been for the last 30 years.
Oh, you just made this host, and I'm sure a lot of listeners very jealous. People are saying Atlanta is one of the most beautiful places in the world, certainly. So
It
great to know
really
that.
is. And just so that your audience knows, I spent a lot of time in the New York City area and, in fact, lived in South Orange, right down the hall, right down the road from Seton Hall for many, many years.
Well, welcome home then, Dr.
Thank
Rogers.
you.
That is really, really wonderful. Sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. You are recognized as a thought leader in the field of diversity management. How does diversity management differ from what is commonly considered, quote unquote, diversity work?
So, Greg, the term diversity has been co-opted by a lot of people doing a lot of different things. The word was first intended as a response to a obvious change in the demographics and the psychographics at the workplace. So this is workplace diversity. My mentor and my former friend, who unfortunately passed some years ago, Dr. Roosevelt Thomas, came up with a response that says, the workplace, the makeup of the workplace is going to change, and you're not ready for it. You need a new set of skills, a new set of attitudes, a new process by which you can continue to get world-class results given the demographic and psychographic changes. Those demographic and psychographic changes are the things that we're living in. We're swimming in it right now. There's no place that you can go where you won't find a large range of diversity by race, by gender, by ethnicity, by sexual
Wow.
orientation, by immigrant versus native. And so all of those things exist. That's just a fact of life. As I tell people all the time, you don't get a vote on that. That's already done. What you get a vote on is, will you learn to manage it in such a way that you can bring all of that diverse talent and get outstanding results with that diverse talent? So diversity management is different from what most diversity work is in this. It is focused on enterprise performance. In other words, it is not advocating for any particular dimension of diversity. We're not focusing on Black rights or women's rights or any of that. We're focusing on human condition and how human beings can work more effectively together to create productivity and not get distracted by what I call these artificial barriers to humanity. That is skin color or gender or accent or where you're all from, or did you go to the right college? All of these things are just superfluous. There's another human being. I need them on my team. I need to understand them well enough so that we can work well together. That's the bottom line.
Oh, thanks for that clarification. That's really, really important to understand. Now, as I said before, you've got this great new book out called Diversity Training That Generates Real Change. What motivated you, Dr. Rogers? What prompted you to write this great book?
Well, unfortunately, as I look at it in the marketplace, there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there about what diversity and inclusion really is. Everybody has an issue, and as one of my colleagues says, if you want credibility for your issue, call it diversity and inclusion, because that will get people's attention.
Jeez.
So, you know, you have people who are women's rights advocates or gay rights advocates and Black issues and ageism and ableism and all of that. And those are great things to be working on. But when you pile them all under the title of diversity management and inclusion, it creates confusion. Because if I tell you, Greg, I am the leading advocate for diversity and inclusion, your question is, what does that mean? Because exactly. You know, so many people say it, and all of them are working on something different. So it creates confusion. And so the reason for the book is to dispel that confusion so that we can actually make progress. Because one thing that we know, I'm an OD consultant, one thing we know is the confused mind does nothing. So the reason that people are not taking action on this is because they're not sure what the it is. And once we try to clarify, this is what diversity management and inclusion is about. Here is how you do it. Here's a six-step process by which you can make it happen. Here's what the training looks like, and this is why the training works. So when people tell us diversity training doesn't work, I'm scratching my head. I said, I've been doing it for 30 years. It's worked every time I've done it. I don't know why y'all are having problems with it. But there is a lot of bad stuff out there going under the title of diversity training, and it is not productive. It does more harm than good. And we're just trying to call that out. I don't expect everybody's going to latch on to the message that I have, but I felt an obligation, Greg, to at least tell people I've been doing this for a long time. Everywhere I've gone, it has always worked. So at least here's a formula by which you can do it and get results.
Well, you could have very easily, Dr. Rogers, held on to the good, but it's so wonderful that you shared the good as you have. And this book was very enlightening for me. And the Thank God for Monday listener, now, I'm a terrible reader, but even I could read this book and understand it. It is so beautifully written and chock full of so many nuggets.
Thank you.
Is there an intended audience for this book, or is it something like me in a higher education could read and get something out of? Did you have a primary audience of mine, or is it more or less do you see for everybody?
Well, there is primary audience for this are C-suite executives. It's for leaders. And then it's for people who are actively involved in the diversity space. And by the way, you mentioned the word higher education. We also designed this book so that it could be source material for any college or university that has a requirement for their students to take some type of diversity learning. If they would just use this and just introduce their students to the idea of diversity as it was intended, it would, I think, diffuse a lot of the confusion that's out there. And I think it would be a great idea. I have colleagues at Virginia Tech and at Villanova and several other colleges who are looking at using this as source material. But primarily, I wrote an article in Leader to Leader magazine talking about the biggest problem we have in the diversity space is leaders are not leading. What I mean by that, CEOs fail to do the work to figure out what diversity management really is and how it could help their enterprise perform. And so when the word diversity comes up, they're confused. As one of my colleagues said, my CEO called me up and said, "Look, I don't have a clue what this stuff is, and in all honesty, I don't have time to figure out what it is. So fix it and call me." So they hire a diversity chief diversity officer or someone that's head of global diversity, and their job is to keep diversity off of the plate of the C-suite, chief operating officer and chief.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, isn't that terrible? So basically, I'm writing this book to say you're overcomplicating this. Just focus on the essentials. You want your enterprise to be the best it can. In order for that to happen, you need the best people you can get. Those best people will come in a variety of different flavors and types. And you need to make sure that your frontline managers know how to manage that so you get the world-class results that you want. Period. That's all this is about. And if you can understand that, you will hire a person, not because of the color of their skin or their gender, but you'll hire a person who understands strategy, who understands organizational development, who understands culture, who understands relationships. And that's the person that you want to drive this initiative in your organization.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm not surprised at all to hear that many colleges are considering using this book in the part of their curricula. It makes
Great.
perfect sense, certainly. And we've touched upon this a little bit, but I'd like to peel the onion, Dr. Rogers, on this, if it's okay with you. It sounds like your approach to diversity worked simple and impactful. Describe a little bit more about what you do and how you came to the understanding that diversity involves and benefits everyone.
I was fortunate that when I first got in this world, let me just give you a background. I'm an
Please,
engineer by
please.
training. And in fact, while I was in the New York City area, I worked for a company, AT&T. And my last job, next to last job with them, was with the Bell Labs derivative.
Ah.
So I am used to being around technical people. But when I got to Atlanta, I met a young man by the name of Dr. Roosevelt Thomas. And he had this unique approach to this idea of diversity. And so, unfortunately, I got into it for the right reason and with the right focus. And it's always been my focus on this. See, as an engineer, when I left corporate America, I started off doing work in TQM, that's Total Quality Management.
Oh, wow.
I did things like Six Sigma and Lean Manufacturing. Any geeky engineer, that's kind of what we do. But then I looked at it. Why am I doing this work? Because I think it helps enterprises to perform better. And then when I got introduced to Dr. Thomas's work, I say, this will help enterprises perform better too. So my platform has always been, it has never been about advocating or crusading for Black issues or women issues. It's always been about focusing on enterprise performance, using the reality of the workplace and the marketplace to try to get the best results we possibly can. And so that's what I've done. And I've got some great examples of when people actually listen to what we're trying to accomplish, they get great work results, like creating $1 billion market for a new compound, or like creating $7 billion product lines over a period of time. So it does work, but you have to work it.
Wow, what a blessing it is. Did I hear you say you have an engineering background, Dr. Rogers?
Absolutely. I started off in the Bell system as an engineer. I've done project management, finance, economics. I did everything before I left and started my own consulting practice.
Wow, so you really know how business works. You really
Absolutely.
understand the machinations of large organizations.
Yep.
Oh, what competitive advantage that gives you. Now, to be able to go in and help organizations all size, particularly some of these larger ones.
Yep.
Now, we may have covered some of this already, but I want to peel the onion because there seems to be confusion, discord, resistance, even animosity about the concept of diversity and inclusion, which you say is as natural as living. Share with us more about this, please, Dr. Roger.
Part of co-opting the language of diversity, well, when diversity first hit the table, the early adopters were the CEOs of some of the largest companies in the country, at Avon and General Motors and Corning and Digital Equipment. And all of them, the CEOs looked at this and say, "Wow, this is what we've been looking for. This is it. This is the thing." So early adopters got it, they practice it, they got results for it. But after a while, some other people who had other issues saw how collectively attractive this term diversity and inclusion was. And so they start putting their work up under it also. Now, currently what we're facing is politicians love division. And so they have created this environment where diversity is a divisive term. Because if you're advocating for one group, you're not advocating for another. And if I feel left out, I'm going to resist rather than advocate for your issue. If diversity is seen as being about Black issues, then there are going to be a large number of white people who are going to say, well, that's not for me, and therefore it's divisive. If women put if it puts under the auspices of gender equity, men are going to say, well, that's not for me. That's inherently divisive. From the beginning, this work has been intended to benefit everyone, which is why we call the book Inclusive Approaches That Benefit All Individuals, All Businesses, and the Larger Society. So one of the things that I would say, Greg, is that if it doesn't benefit everyone, what we've experienced over the last many years is if it doesn't benefit everyone, none of us is going to get the real benefit of it. Because as long as it has that air of divisiveness about it, some people can push real hard for their issue, but in the process, someone else is going to be pulling real hard against that issue. So what we're trying to do is to even the playing field and say, hey, folks, this is for all of us. And if it's not all of us, we shouldn't be doing it. I wrote an article back in 1996 where I predicted the outcome of where we are. I hope that I was wrong, but I proved to be right. It was called What About Bob? And it said right there, if we don't deliberately include non-Hispanic, heterosexual, able-bodied white men fully in this conversation, we will never get the outcomes we're looking for. And I happen to be right. And so, a lot of the social disorder that we have right now is because people have not been able to see the commercial value of diversity management and inclusion. They put up on under it all of these divisive issues that the now but I want to make clear, people who are working on these things like racial equality and gender, they don't intend for them to be divisive. They have great intentions. But if they're not thoughtful about it, they can push it in such a way that there will be a natural human reaction to it that is resisting.
This is very, very interesting. No doubt about it. So, I left the corporate world in 2006, but I started in the late 70s. But I have to say, there was a phrase we called affirmative action. I don't know if that was the start of diversity, equity, inclusion, or if that was kind of something separate and then DEI came later. Maybe you can help us out with a little more context, please, Dr. Rogers.
Yeah, and that's why this work gets confused. This is not, I repeat, this is not affirmative action. This is not civil rights. This is not gender equity. This is not racial equality. This is not gay rights. This is an enterprise performance discipline. I use the word discipline because for the last 25 years, I've been trying to bring some discipline to this work. Because remember, Greg, I started in TQM. When you worked in TQM, everybody who was doing that work knew, okay, this is what it is. This is the outcome. This is how you do
Sure.
it. That's a discipline. Within the diversity world, we celebrate the fact that we can all just make up what we want and call it diversity and inclusion.
Oh,
And
wow.
that never works. That never works. So there's a lack of discipline. And because of that lack of discipline, we create more confusion. And everybody goes to their corner and everybody's screaming at each other and everybody's saying, I'm right and you're wrong and I'm wrong and you're right and so forth. What we want to do is create an environment where we can have all of our enterprises. And when I use the word enterprise, I'm talking about a big corporation, a small business, a nonprofit agency, a government agency, even the larger society, American culture, a larger society. That is an enterprise. We can make it better if we just focus on the right things and do it in a spirit of we're all doing this for our own personal benefit. Every person benefits from this work.
Yeah, I absolutely 1,000% agree. Now, it's very exciting to me. You are also a high-end executive coach and director of Executive Academy. Please, Dr. Rogers, tell us about this very exciting work you're doing.
It's one of those things that, serendipity just happened, Greg. I stated many, many years ago as I looked at my life and I said, why am I here? What am I here to do? And I said, all I really want to do is to help other people achieve beyond their own belief and expectations. I want to elevate everybody to be their best. And just a couple of years ago, a group called ITSMF, which is a technology group, has a GIPD, a Professional Development Academy. They were looking for someone to head up their Executive Academy. The Executive Academy is designed to have mid-level technology executives teach them how to make it to the C-suite, or what it means to be in the C-suite, or decide whether or not they want to go to the C-suite.
Wow.
And fortunately, I have the background and I have the exposure, and I tell someone the other day, I have a lot of friends in corporate America, and most of them have C in part in the front of their title. So I have some insights that can be helpful to them. So the Executive Academy, and I'm just ending my second cohort of it, and it's just been a blessing to me to see I call them my kids, to see these young people blossom and
Oh,
see
wow.
what they are. And I'm fortunate also to be a high-end executive coach. I work with primarily C-suite executives at companies at variety of places, mid-size and up to mid large size companies. And it's a blessing to just be able to ask the right question that causes a high-performing executive to be even better.
I'm sure it's a great blessing to your coachees. There's no
Thank you.
doubt about that. So congratulations on all this tremendous influence you have with all of these individuals at these very high levels, certainly. Sadly, we've only got about 8 minutes, but I have some important questions still to ask you, Dr. Rogers, if that's okay. It's amazing you talk about blessings, certainly, because I've learned you're a spiritual teacher in the interfaith tradition. We want to hear all about how your spiritual practice informs your being, and in particular, your work. Please.
The good news is I discovered years ago something I called the integrated life. In other words, I want to be me, whoever I am. I don't want to go to church and be one Jim Rogers and then go to school and be something different and go to work and be something different. I want to be me all the time. And as I said in my book, as a spiritual teacher, that informs everything that I do. And quite often, I'm very vocal about it. I will say things like, there's a spiritual principle that applies here. And that principle is this, and this is why it is good for business for to do it this way. Because one of the things that I know about human nature, and I've spent most of my life is studying human nature, it's the same no matter where you are. So it really has informed my work. Now, what's interesting about this, Greg, is I grew up a good old Southern Black Baptist,
Oh, wow.
and I still fellowship in a Christian community. But for the
Oh.
last 8 years, I have been a facilitator for an interfaith group south of Atlanta, and they include traditional Christians, Orthodox Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, even atheists and agnostics. We all come
Wow.
together because we're doing one thing: we're seeking truth. We want to know what the truth is. And I have found that you can find the truth in a lot of different faith traditions. And if that is your
Absolutely.
objective, study them, find the kernel of truth that you are. Someone asked me, well, why do you still go to church? I said, I go there because I love the people there. Quite simply, those are my folks. And I love that. I love to fellowship with them.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So now, do you get together weekly? Do you get together? How does this all work? I'm very fascinated by this.
Well, I was a guest facilitator for that group and joined them quite often. So probably about once every 2 months, I would facilitate a session, and
Wow.
it was always a joy and always a learning. I was able by listening to each one of them and out of the traditions that they came, I was able to pick up even more truths. In fact, Greg, I wrote a book called Finding Truth Without Losing Faith. And it is for people who, when they start questioning, their first thing is, I'm going to leave the church behind, or I'm going to leave the mosque behind because I'm not finding my answers there. I'm saying, well, keep looking. In every faith tradition, there is the kernel of the truth. Rather than being bound by tradition and dogma and doctrine, seek the truth. If, for instance, in my case, if you really listen to the teachings of the Christ, man, you're going to get it. But if you get all caught up in the traditions of the church, you may miss it.
Yeah, it's so interesting you mention this because for about the last year or so, I've been in this role in our group, what we call Mission Ministry Interfaith Dialogue. And so I've gotten much more involved in the interfaith dialogue piece than I have before. And what I have found by looking at the different religions, I'd be very curious if you have found this as well. There's a lot more similarities than differences. I don't know if you have found
Absolutely.
this as well, but there seems to be a found, there seems to be common ground that we
It
can
is.
all agree. Have you found that? Expound on that, please, for us, Dr. Rogers.
Absolutely. I have found that to be true. And the more I think about it, if there is something that we call God, wouldn't it be cruel of him to say, I'm going to give these 200 people over here the truth. The rest of y'all, you have figured out on your own. But I think that that God wanted all of us to know the truth. And for he planted it in Buddhism in India, and he planted it in the Middle East with Jesus the Christ, and he planted it in Judaism, and he planted the truth in all of them. What we have to do is to be focused on finding that truth and not get distracted by all of the traditions, the dogma, the doctrines, all of that, you know, form and fashion, and just say, I am here to figure out what does God want me to know in order to navigate through this world correctly. So I find, you know, one of my favorite texts is called the Tao Te Ching. And the first time I read the Tao Te Ching, because I'm very Bible literate. I know the Bible back and forth. I'm very Bible. The first time I read the Tao Te Ching, I said, look at this. They stole all of this from Jesus. Jesus has been saying this all along. And then I found out, of course, that it was written 600 years before Jesus came along. It was a revelation to say, you know, the truth has been out there in a lot of different forms forever. We just have to make sure that we find a path, not the path, that we find a path to get to that truth.
And you are such the perfect person, having this great ability and skill in your diversity work to be able to work with all these peoples of different faiths. It's really, really tremendous. No doubt about that. I've saved Dr. Rogers the most important question for last. Tell us, please, where can our loyal listeners purchase diversity training that generates real change, inclusive approaches that benefits individuals, business, and society? How can we best follow you as well, please?
So there's a number of things. The book is available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon in the traditional format. If you want a signed copy of it, you can go to my website, which is jamesorogers.com. That's Rogers with a D. And there's a media place there where you can get all of my books. And if you order it directly from that site, I will actually sign it for you before I send it to you. I am also very active on LinkedIn under the James Rogers PhD. And I'm also very active with, I have a newsletter that I send out. So if you want to follow me, start with LinkedIn. And then once you get on my mailing list, you'll get a lot of information coming out of my writings. I also, I write a lot of articles. Like I told you, I wrote the article on Leader to Leader magazine about leaders. I've written articles about every aspect of diversity management and inclusion. And hopefully my voice is starting to get out there.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And we've been so blessed to have your voice today. Listeners, no excuse. Purchase one of these for yourself, one at least for others that you know. Dr. Rogers has been a great Franciscan this morning. He didn't hold on to the good. He shared the good. Now it's your turn. Buy a couple of these, one for yourself, share the good. What an amazing book from an amazing, amazing individual. I want to give you his website one more time, www.jamesorogers.com. Make sure you follow him as well on LinkedIn, and there's a lot of great material that will come to you as a result. Dr. James O. Rogers, thank you, thank you, thank you for gracing our airwaves today, and thank God for Monday. We've been enlightened. We've been especially enlightened because, as you said, there's a lot of information out there regarding diversity. You have set us straight this morning. So thank you for clarifying a lot of things regarding diversity, equity, inclusion that we didn't know previously. Continued success, joy, and all this tremendous work you're doing. Rest of 2023 and beyond, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Be blessed.
You too as well. Thanks. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Dr. Rogers does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.